Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by California College of the Arts, offering extension courses focused on design, fine arts, and digital technology. Campuses in Rock Ridge, Oakland, and Potrero Hill in San Francisco. cca.edu/extension.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Today, or tomorrow, a bill that would ban disposable plastic bags statewide goes to the state Senate floor for a vote. With 54 local ordinances already banning bags in 75 cities and counties in California, you may be tempted to ask, why do we need a statewide ban? The measure's author, Senator Alex Padilla of Los Angeles County, joins us to answer that question.
Well, the plastic bag bans that are in effect at the local level tend to be in some of the urban areas and more along the coast than in inland parts of the state of California. But you do have pockets both in the north and the south, both in the Los Angeles metropolitan area as well as the Bay Area, that aren't covered by a current ban. You know, and recognizing that every city, every county is a little bit different, my bill will seek to leave the existing ordinances and bans in place, but provide a policy guidance and a time frame for the phase out of single-use plastic bags for the parts of the state that don't currently have a law.
Talk about SB 405. But what exactly does it stipulate?
So specifically, what my bill would do is by the year 2015 would require the larger grocery stores and retailers, and by the year 2016, the medium and smaller size grocers and retailers to do away with single-use plastic bags, the plastic bags that we've come all too dependent on, or used to, I should say, at the checkout counter. It would require the use of reusable plastic bags that we're increasingly becoming familiar with. But in the event that you need an extra bag because something was on sale, you bought just a little extra, we'll allow recycled paper bags to be made available for a small fee.
You know, it seems like almost every year in recent memory, there's been a proposal for a statewide disposable plastic bag ban. And almost every year, well, every year it's died every time it's come out. This time around, which lawmakers are in your camp?
Well, I think this year is a little bit different for a couple of reasons. You know, as time has gone on, there's an increasing awareness about the issue. And again, both the environmental impact as well as the blight impact and the cost to local governments. We've had some turnover in the Senate, which is where the bills haven't succeeded. It's been approved by the Assembly repeatedly in recent years. And last, certainly not least, you've had slowly but surely an increasing number of local governments adopting their own limitations or restrictions on single-use plastic bags. And so the business community has finally come forward and either seeing the wisdom of the policy or just from a compliance perspective, seeking more of a statewide standard than a hodgepodge of 50, 70, 100 different rules and regulations in place at the local level.
You say that, but the plastics industry is airing radio and TV ads, I don't know if you've seen them yet, that claim paper and reusable bags are unenvironmental. It seems like they're on the full frontal assault against this ban.
Well, I think there's a couple of specific manufacturers of single-use plastic bags that are waging an all-out war. And I don't agree with their arguments that paper is more harmful to the environment than plastic. I think most people see right through that argument. If we look at our landfills in 100 years and in 1,000 years, we're not going to see much paper from today's grocery store purchases, but we're going to see a lot of plastic.
A lot of those plastic bag manufacturers we're talking about are based in Southern California. And SB 405 makes you their target because you are from Southern California. What is it that motivates you personally to step into their target sites?
You know, it's not a matter of stepping into their target sites. I think it's a matter of stepping into an issue that for too long, I think most people kind of viewed as a coastal issue. For years, the conversation about plastic bags dealt with, you know, how many of the bags are ending up in the ocean, the impact on marine life, those sorts of things. I do not have a coastal district. I have a very urban and inland district, and I happen to be in the Los Angeles area. So, I think what I've tried to do in having supported the bans in the past is remind everybody that it's not just about sea turtles, as important as protecting our coast is. It's also about our cities and communities that are inland. I used to be on the city council in Los Angeles before my election to the legislature, and I know the collection and recycling of plastic bags is an enormous and costly task for public works departments. up and down the state of California. It's not just a coastal issue, if you will.
So I got to ask, what kind of bag do you shop with?
I have a variety of reusable bags in my trunk and in my wife's trunk.
Well, Senator, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
That was State Senator Alex Padilla of L.A. County. What do you think? Is it high time for a statewide ban or not? Let us know on our Facebook page or email us at calreport@kqed.org. State senators have not gotten behind another bill that would have boosted California's prescription drug transaction database. CURES, as it's called, is so chronically underfunded, few doctors bother to check it. SB 809 would have hiked licensing fees on pharmacists, physicians, and the like to make the database a useful tool for identifying addicts, black market dealers, and those who knowingly or negligently support them. A broad coalition, including the state's attorney general, supported the measure, but not the pharmaceutical industry. Co-author Mark DeSaunier of Concord told the LA Times he'll try for another vote later this week. California cares for roughly 55,000 foster children under the age of 18. Under Obamacare, foster kids will remain eligible for Medicaid until they hit 26. That thrills foster youth advocates, but as Peter John Schuler reports, they're not entirely happy with the details of the plan.
The new rule is part of the rollout of the federal government's overhaul of the health insurance system. Amy Lemley with the John Burton Foundation for Children Without Homes says this new provision will make a big difference in the lives of former foster youth.
One small medical incident can be the difference for them between kind of, you know, economic stability and sufficiency if they have health insurance, or seriously set them back.
But the rule change doesn't guarantee that former foster children will get health coverage. That's because if a former foster child moves across state lines, his or her new state is not required to cover them. Lumley says the lack of coverage could discourage some youth from moving and limit their education and job prospects. Advocates are urging the federal government to require public health coverage regardless of where former foster youth are living. For the California Report, I'm Peter John Schuler.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, May 29th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. The California Teachers Association, celebrating 150 years of advocating for all students, educators, and California's public schools and colleges. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.